Hallelujah. It sounds like revival to me. Amen. Sounds like souls are being revived. Praise God. Can you testify tonight that you're a part of that great spoil that has been gathered?
Yes,
praise God. What an honor. What a privilege to be among those that have been gathered, saved. It's what the word salvation means. Salvaged, off the salvage pile. Christ salvaged us. Praise God. Well, greetings tonight in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Yes, He is. I was so blessed, so enraptured with the songs that I was afraid I'm going to forget what I want to say tonight. That's a struggle for the preacher. Can you let go and worship, or should you try and stay focused? And I just let go. Praise God. I was so blessed. Praise God. Thank you for that last song. We want Christ to be honored tonight. It's my prayer. He is worthy. Well, before we get started tonight, I want to give you, the Bible school students, just a few minutes. By the way, I didn't say it last night, but I'm not looking for a sermon on your quick explanation of what it means, what it looks like when a man walks with God. Just quickly, a few here tonight, raise your hand. Who will go first? What does it look like in modern days for a man to walk with God? Anyone? Okay. He earnestly hears what God has to say. Very good. Someone else? We can do that today, can't we? Hear what God has to say. That's not just for the old age. Totally unashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen. Very good. Very good. Any over here? Don't be bashful. Raise your hand high if I'm not seeing it. Any more over here?
Paul said, let your conversation be over and come with the gospel of Christ, every aspect of life, in submission and worship to our Savior.
Amen. Nothing shall offend them. Amen. You walk with God. Yes.
Walking in fellowship with Him day by day.
Amen. Walking in fellowship with God. We can do that. Amen. Living a life of devotion and obedience to God. It's pretty simple. And benevolence and beneficence to our neighbor. They go hand in hand. And that's where the reality comes in. We walk with God. We love God. We also love our neighbor. Take one more. Is there one more? Man that walks with God will be rooted and grounded in the Word. That's right. Very good. Okay. Thank you. Say that again. Loves the Lord with his whole heart, his entire heart. Amen. Thank you. I think you're getting it. God bless you for that. Tomorrow's verse, challenge verse is from the words of Jesus. He said, remember Lot's wife. Tell us tomorrow night, what are some of the things we should remember about Lot's wife? Okay? Remember Lot's wife. Jesus gave that out. Remember Lot's wife. Come tomorrow night with a few thoughts like that. Thank you for these tonight here. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for giving us a new song. These songs that we sang tonight, Lord, they're more than words. They are spirit and they are life, God, to the converted soul. They minister to us, Lord. They are the words of life, words of worship and praise. And we thank you for them, Father. You are worthy, God, to receive our praises tonight. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. God, help me to expound the word tonight clearly, to teach it, God, to these souls here, Lord, that Christ would be made known clearly to every heart here tonight, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray for unction. I pray for strength, Lord, tonight. I pray for the fear of God upon my heart, Lord. As I open my mouth in the pulpit of God here, Lord, help me, Lord, to do what is right tonight. Oh, God, deliver me from the flesh, Lord, and make this place holy tonight, oh God. Let the fear of God be upon our hearts, Lord. You've given us another evening together, Lord. We thank you for that. We commit the preaching of the word to you, God, and we ask for unction and direction and strength, Lord. We pray your blessing upon every heart here. Lord, let every lying spirit be driven back tonight, Lord. Every distracting spirit, God, that would hinder souls from coming to the light, the glorious liberty and light of Jesus. God, take over here tonight, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Let it be heavy upon us, Lord, tonight here. Let conviction fall upon every heart, Lord. Oh, God, and that you would draw us to yourself, Father, tonight. We love you, Lord. We give ourselves to you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2 for our text tonight. Hebrews chapter 2. I would like to dwell primarily on Hebrews 2, verse 3. We will read Hebrews 2, verse 1 through 4, but my points come out of verse 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. The title of the message tonight is, So Great Salvation. So great salvation. I have 5 points that I'd like to draw out of verse number 3. The first point is, how great is so great? How great is so great? Point number 2 is, we want to look at when Jesus first began to speak about this. As it says here in verse number 3, it was first began to be spoken by the Lord. Point number 3 is, when it was spoken by them that heard Him, it was confirmed by those that heard Him and walked with Him. Point number 4, we want to make some practical and real life applications and some of the benefits that we have of this great salvation. And then point number 5 is a solemn warning. So first of all, so great salvation. How great is so great? A definition for that phrase, so great, is such as this. That is, in magnitude, so vast, so far-reaching, so mighty. This salvation that I want to talk about tonight is so great in magnitude. It is so far-reaching. It is so mighty. Hallelujah. The salvation mentioned here is the whole system of Christianity, with all the privileges it confers, properly called a salvation, because by bringing such an abundance of heavenly light into the world, it saves and delivers men from the kingdom of darkness. It saves them from ignorance. It saves them from error, erroneous thinking. It saves them, my friend, from superstition tonight. It saves people from idolatry. And it provides all that is required, all the required means to free men from the power and the guilt and the contamination of sin. And I'm sure you have figured out already, as I have, we can never touch it all, explain it all, get to the bottom of it tonight. It is so great. Let me give you just a few verses tonight in trying to explain to us, or try to, how great this salvation is. In talking about our Savior, the Lord Jesus, it says, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. This salvation, my friend, reaches into and throughout eternity. Unto who? Unto all of us who obey Him. Unto all them that obey Him. It's for everyone tonight. Hebrews 7, verse 25 and 26 says, wherefore He, Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost. And what that word uttermost means, it means to save completely. To save completely. Are you under the thinking that you are barely saved? Well, this verse implies that we are saved through Jesus Christ to the uttermost, completely. That come unto God, those that come unto God by Him, seeing He, Jesus, ever liveth to make prayers, intercessions for them, for you and me. For such an high priest became us, who is, first of all, holy. He met the holy demands of God. Christ did. And there He is in God's presence tonight. He is holy. He is harmless. You don't have to be afraid of Jesus tonight. He is harmless. He is undefiled. He dwelt on this earth among sinners. But He is sinless tonight. He is undefiled. He is separate from sinners. And He is made higher than the heavens. He has been given a name that is above every name tonight. This is a great salvation. This is a very great salvation. It was prophesied years ago by the prophet Isaiah. If I can find him. The prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet Isaiah. And he prophesied way back in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God came upon Isaiah. And he talked about a time down the corridor of time, down the road a long way. And he said, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. And thou comfortest me. This is all happening down the road in our day. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He goes on to say about this time, about that day, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. My dearly beloved, tonight it is important that we testify of the grace of God. Make mention that His name is exalted. It is important that we testify of the salvation. It is important that we sing like we did tonight. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. This is our God. Don't play games with God tonight, young people. Don't play games with God. If we neglect, let it slip by us, so great a salvation. Woe to us. Paul told Timothy, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. All men. Let's just compare for a moment tonight here the old with the new. The old covenant with the new, you know, the Jewish dispensation when God dealt with the Jews as a nation. Let's just compare a few things with the new as to how far the new supersedes and exceeds that of the old in trying to help us to see how great this salvation is. First of all, the old covenant was given, was provided for the Jews alone. The Christian dispensation or the new covenant is given for all mankind. Revelations 5:9 says, out of every kindred, out of every tongue and people and nation. See the difference? Secondly, the Jews dispensation or the Old Testament was full of significant types and ceremonies. And it was. Think with me for a moment tonight how many lambs lost their lives through the old covenant. How much blood was shed. How many little lambs, young yearling lambs without blemish, got the knife put to their throat and their blood shed. That was a type of what was to come. It was a significant type. Think of all the lambs and the goats and the bulls and all the animals that had to shed their blood for the sins of the people. It was all a type. The Christian now, on the other hand, dispensation or the New Testament, the New Covenant, it is the substance of what all that was pointing to. John, the Revelator, he had a vision of heaven and he saw in the midst of the throne a lamb as if it had been slain. You see, that's what those animals were pointing to Christ. And Christ came and died. The New Testament era is the substance of what these old types and ceremonies pointed to. The Old Covenant referred chiefly to bodily and outward state of man. Washings and external cleansings of the flesh. You know, the priests, whenever they went into the temple, they had to get into that laver, whatever it was called, and had to wash and had to change their clothes often. But the new, you know, it was all the outside, but it was a type of washing. The New Testament, the salvation that I'm talking about tonight, is that of the inside, the purifying of the heart. The purifying of the heart and soul and the purging of conscience from dead works. Hallelujah. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. You can be washed tonight on the inside. Amen. The old covenant promised temporal happiness. The Christian, spiritual. You know, who wants some free vineyards and houses, physical, when you can have the real? You know, all those, you know, God promised them the land of Canaan. He says, I will give you a land that floweth with milk and honey. And you'll go in there and you'll receive houses that you didn't build. And you'll receive vineyards that you didn't plant. They were all a type of something better to come. And it is the spiritual riches that we have in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So great a salvation. Amen? The Jewish dispensation belonged chiefly to time. You know, their priest, they died and they needed to be replaced. They were time limited, but not so with the Christian. We, Jesus, our priest, has an unchangeable priesthood. Hallelujah. Glory. It just gets better as we go down here. The Jewish dispensation had its glory. I like this one. It had its glory. God, the Shekinah glory, He followed them and He came down upon that tabernacle there in the wilderness. And when Egypt was after them, He became a light to Israel, and He became a wall to Egypt that they couldn't come together. Israel had a glory that followed them. Yes, they did. The nations, the heathens, trembled when Israel was right with God. They trembled. Rahab the harlot told the spies when they came in there, they said, We heard about you, how that God is with you, and we are trembling over here. There was a glory. They were God's chosen. There was a glory that followed with Israel. When Moses went up into the Mount of Sinai and he received the Ten Commandments, he came down and his face shone with a glory that they had to put a veil over his face. There was a glory that followed Israel. But the New Testament tells us very clearly in Corinthians, for even that which was made glorious had no glory at all in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth us. The New Testament era so far supersedes the New Covenant that it makes that other look dark. Have we missed something or what? Are the neighbors astounded at our God? Are the neighbors wondering at our salvation because of the glory that is upon us? This is New Testament gospel. It is so more far more glorious that it makes the other look like it had no glory at all. Two more. The first one, Moses administered. The second one, Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Governor, the Savior of the world, administered. He came down Himself and gave the New Testament to us. Praise His name. This is a great salvation, infinitely beyond the Jewish. But how great? no tongue or pen can describe, even though I'm trying tonight. It is as if we would go out to the ocean. And here we are standing at the shore of the ocean, every one of us tonight, and we're looking out over the ocean. And maybe on a very clear day, our eyes can see 50 miles till it fades into the horizon. And we can see 50 miles that way and 50 miles that way. Or let's say 100 miles. But in the scope of all things, and we would say with awe, the ocean is big. Amen? All of those that were at the ocean, it just draws awe out of you and you say, it is big. But we all would agree to tonight, what is 100 miles deep and wide compared to the whole ocean? Like nothing. That's how it is tonight with this salvation. It is so infinitely beyond the old that we find it very, very hard to describe. Oh, but let a man taste and see. Oh, glory. He knows then what I'm talking about. Let's go to number two. Let's just look at the words of Jesus here, what he said about this. It says in our text that at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. At first began to be spoken by the Lord. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, where we'll look at the account where Jesus began to speak about this salvation that I'm talking about tonight. Luke chapter 4. And the setting here is Jesus had just been out in the wilderness being tempted by the devil for 40 days. And now he comes back to town, comes back into Galilee, it says in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4. It says he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Jesus was out there being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And he returned. Angels, it says, came and ministered unto him. In one of the Gospels, I'm not sure if it says that here. But he comes back into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And there went a fame of him through all the region round about. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, his hometown. Please get this. Tune in to it, my dearly beloved. Jesus is out in the wilderness being tempted of his arch enemy, the devil, who wants to destroy him. And he gets the victory over him and comes back in the power of the Spirit, comes to Nazareth, goes to church, goes to the temple, to the synagogue. And they give him the scroll, and he finds where it's prophesied of him in the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book in verse 17, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" This is the gospel tonight that Jesus came to bring to us, my friends. I believe that we can have every need met that we read here tonight. Any need that we have, I believe we can find the solution, the answer for it in one of these proclamations that our Lord made. The gospel, the great gospel, the salvation that I'm preaching tonight is to heal the brokenhearted. Do you have a broken heart tonight, my friend? Jesus wants to heal you. He said, this day, that day back, there when He spoke these words, was the day of salvation. It was began. And people, to this very day, are still finding healing for their broken hearts. If they bring them to Jesus, if they see Him for more than Joseph's son, if they see Him as the Savior of the world. Too many tonight see Him still as Joseph's son. And they don't have their needs met. But He gave this beautiful proclamation. I am anointed. I am sent. I am the anointed one. I am the sent one to bring healing to your heart. I am the sent one to bring deliverance to your heart. Are you in bondage tonight to sin, my friend? This is the answer. This is the answer. This so great a salvation is the answer to your sin problem. Right here. He brought deliverance to the captives. Are you blind? He can recover your sight and He can set you at liberty if you've been bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. He came to let the world know that the God whom they had offended was willing to be reconciled to them. Amen. And to accept them on new terms. God, whom they had offended by their sin, whom you I had offended by their sin, the day had came, so great a salvation, that God once again will accept you on new terms, on Christ's terms. This was the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. You know what the year of Jubilee was? The acceptable year of the Lord. I believe Jesus is referring to that, the year of Jubilee. The year of release. You don't need to be in bondage anymore. Jesus let captivity captive. He overcame the devil. And, you know, on the year of Jubilee, servants were set at liberty. If you're here tonight and you're a servant to sin, I got good news for you. You can be set free tonight by the gospel. Jesus said it's the acceptable year of the Lord. Debtors, are you in debt? I'm not speaking about money debt. Are you in debt to God with your sin? Debtors on the year of Jubilee, the actions that were against them were dropped. That was good news for those that had accusations against them. They were dropped. Christ came to sound the Jubilee trumpet. And blessed were they that heard the joyful sound. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus began to speak about this. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but oh, I wonder what Jesus said there when He walked on the road to Emmaus with those two disciples of His, and He began back at Moses and the prophets, and He expounded to them all the Scripture said about Himself. That must have been one sweet message. I know it was powerful because it says that their hearts burned. Jesus said of Himself, I am the way. Are you confused which way is right? Everyone says it's their way. I recommend you tonight, to you tonight, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. There's a lot of lies out there, but you quiet your heart in sincerity in your closet before God. And I believe Jesus will come through to you. And He will minister to you the truth. He is the life. He is the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Jesus said so many things about Himself and about His so great salvation. Will you believe it tonight? Point number three. It says it was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. And you can turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, if you're sitting here tonight and you don't have faith and your heart is saying, oh, Brother Elvin, I've heard this before. And you're just kind of letting this run off your back like water off a duck's back. I'm going to at least attempt to try and convince you what I'm talking about tonight is not a fairy tale. Hallelujah. Though you may think, oh, well, you know, whatever. I want to convince you tonight by the Word of God and by those that walk with Jesus that this is not some fancy dream that someone had. Or as Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 1, as he put it in verse 16, some cunningly devised fable. This is truth.
Hallelujah.
What I'm saying tonight. And it was confirmed by men like you and I as they walk with the Lord. Let's hear Peter's testimony in 2 Peter 1 verse 16. He says, well, let me go to 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. That includes us tonight. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power. The Lord Jesus Christ has power. Hallelujah. He has power. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. When He received from God, verse 17, the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. Just like thunder. This is my beloved Son. The disciples heard audible words out of heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter is not bringing to us some dream that he had last night. He is bringing to us the truth. And we need to listen. Amen? We need to listen. Point number four. Let us think now for a moment the benefits of this so great a salvation. And I think many Christians fail in this area. And I want the Christians to sit up and take note tonight. The personal and real life benefits of this great salvation. You can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. It's a very familiar verse, but let's hone in on it and enlarge on it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Just part of the verse. It says that, and take the helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation. Let's say it all together. And take the helmet of salvation. Brothers and sisters, our salvation is for us to use. It's for us to put on. It's for us to appropriate. It's meant to protect us. You know, and the head is where we wear the helmet. It says, we have a similar verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And I know there's many Christians, including myself, sometimes we struggle with our thoughts and we get ourselves buried in thoughts of condemnation and we allow lies into our brain, into our head that we should not allow in there if we have the helmet of salvation on. And therefore, and thus, we become weak Christians and we become condemned for way too long. When we do not have the helmet of salvation, our salvation, so great a salvation, is a helmet for us. Let me give you a Greek definition for helmet. Very simple. Encirclement of the head. That's where Satan shoots his darts at your heart. And you know, the thoughts go right to the mind, or else from the mind to the heart, however you want to put it. But this is real life tonight. A real life need for the Christian to put on, to appropriate, to believe it, that I have a protection in Christ against the evil thoughts and the condemning thoughts and the lying thoughts that come into my mind. It is made up of two Greek words, the Greek word for helmet. And I probably won't say it right, but I'll give it a try. Pirai kephiel. Pirai simply means around, and kephiel means the head. Around the head. The Greek helmet, the Greek soldier who wore a helmet, had on its crest emblematic figures that were representations of hope. Glory. That the person who wore it should be prosperous in all his engagements and ever safe from battle. So the hope of conquering every adversary and surmounting every difficulty through the blood of the Lamb is as an helmet that protects the head. An impenetrable one that the blow of the battle axe cannot cleave. The hope of continual safety and protection built on the promises of God to which the upright follower of Christ feels he has a divine right to. Praise God. We have that divine right to. He protects the understanding from being darkened and the judgments from being confused by the temptations of Satan or the subtle arguments of the sophistical ungodly. He who carries Christ in his heart cannot be cheated out of the hope of his heaven. Oh, my dearly beloved, put on the helmet of salvation. Fear, doubt, unbelief, lies allowed into the mind bring with them darkness. Be aware as well of the worldly wise man who confuses and negates the simplicity of the gospel. Beware. Number 5. A solemn warning. Our text said in Hebrews 2 verse 3. I'm going to turn back there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? To neglect means to be careless of. Think with me now, to be careless of. It takes some diligence to be a Christian. Amen? It takes some diligence to put on Christ, to gird up the loins of our mind. To neglect means to be careless of, to make light of, to be negligent, or not regard. To not put value upon it. A solemn warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Referring back to the illustration of the ocean again. If we were to go there and we were to throw someone in. Into the ocean, he would immediately become totally immersed and completely wet. Amen? That is pretty simple to understand. But you know, the solemn warning tonight is that it's not exactly that way with the gospel, with salvation. One can be in the middle of a service like this, where you would think you would be getting wet. One can be under the preaching of so great a salvation, greater than the ocean. One can hear so much with his ears and yet be unaffected by it. Now that is sobering. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That is an alarming warning tonight. The Bible says in John 1 verse 10 through 12, He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. What's more, He came unto His own, the Jews. He came unto His very own, in their midst. And His own received Him not. Many rubbed shoulders with Christ Himself and were unchanged. Many are the casual and careless onlookers who would have a glimpse of Jesus. And they get somewhat of a satisfaction in being in the crowd. But they refuse to let Him change them. There was many like that. And thinking in their own hearts and deceiving themselves that, you know, I've done enough. I've seen Jesus. And they feel in and of themselves that they aren't so bad a person. And my heart's cry tonight is, and I believe God's heart's cry, and I'm sure Jesus' cry is, oh, where are the Zacchaeuses that so keenly feel their blindness? Amen? You know, I'm sorry, not the Zacchaeus. That's another one that I had. The Bartimaeus. You know, blind Bartimaeus there in Mark chapter 10, as he sat by the wayside, he was blind. He could not see. And all of a sudden he heard some crowd talking, and you know, the noise that comes with the crowd. They're coming up the street. He can't see, but it gets louder and louder. He inquires, what's coming up the street? And they told him, it's Jesus. Jesus is coming up the street. And he cried, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him, be quiet, be quiet. But the Bible tells us he cried all the more, Jesus, have mercy on me. I believe it dawned on him, if he don't get help here, there is no hope for him. And that is true tonight for you. If you don't get touched by Jesus Christ, there's no hope for you. And it is very, what's the word I'm looking for? For you to go out through these doors tonight and have closed your heart to Jesus is a very dangerous thing indeed for you to do. You don't have the promise of coming back tomorrow. Do not harden your heart tonight. Open your heart. It is the acceptable year of the Lord. I wonder where the Zacchaeuses are. You know, Zacchaeus, he went up in a tree. He heard about Jesus. He was a sinner. He felt his sin. He knew that he cheated people. But there was something in him that he wanted to really see Jesus. He didn't just want to get a glimpse of him between the legs or the arms of the people. He wanted to gaze upon him as he slowly walked by. And he was so desperate to do it that he went, if we can say it, out on a limb to see Jesus. Are you willing tonight in the sight of your friends to go out on a limb to find Jesus? Are you willing? Are you willing to go out on a limb? And I don't care what my friends think. You know, I can imagine that Zacchaeus got a few snickers. Look at that little sinner up there in the tree. Are you willing to be snickered at tonight for Christ? God's salvation wants to meet your need. He wants to change you. It's big enough for your need. And the good news is, Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, their life was changed. I know, Bartimaeus was never sorry that he was a fool for Jesus that day. That he lifted up his voice. And Jesus stopped and said, hey, he calls for you. And it says he threw off his garment and he fled to Jesus. Are you willing to throw off your garment of the old life and come to Jesus? Why not tonight? Throw off that old garment of your familiarity with your friends, with your old buddies. Throw it off. Get a new identity tonight with the people of God. I had to do that. I was 18 years old. I was into all those, you know, some of those things that unconverted, wild, rebellious Mennonite boys get into. But Jesus touched my heart, and I told my friends, I can't listen to that country music anymore. I can't dance anymore. No one told me that, but the Spirit of God told me that. I can't join you in your dancings anymore. Oh, but I was never, never, never sorry. Amen, Christian? You know what I'm talking about. I can tell you they were changed. I can tell you they were never sorry. Those who neglect it are not only they who oppose or persecute it, but they who pay no regard to it, who do not meddle with it, do not concern themselves about it. And consequently, do not get their hearts changed by it. I hope you're not here tonight and saying, oh, some more convenient time. That time may never come, my friend. That time may never come. That's at least a little part of the great salvation. That's God's good news. Why don't we all stand tonight and I want to pray. And then we're going to have an altar call. Let's let it get very quiet. I want you to hear your own heart. If you're feeling a little uneasy, it's the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you to give it all up. Dear God, we pray tonight for your presence here, Lord. Lord, bless your word.
Bless your word, dear God. Save souls tonight. Change lives. Give some of these people the unction that blind Bartimaeus had, the desperation. Give them the unction to climb a tree, as it were, to go out on a limb, to see, to really see, to gaze upon the Lamb of God. God, this is the day of salvation, God. Thank you for that promise. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Thank you that you're with us tonight, Lord. Thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Ghost here tonight, Lord. And we just commit the message to you now and the invitation, God, as we sing a song, Lord. Lord, let them come to you. Call them, dear God, in the depth of their hearts. Call them to come to you, dear God, tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have a song, and you just come. Get right with God.
899. Softly and tenderly.
Me see on the portals, he's watching and waiting, watching for you and for me.
Thursday night.
Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
I think of that lady that had an issue of blood, and it says in the crowd she slipped out there and touched the hem of his garment, and virtue flowed out of Jesus. You can do that too tonight. Don't have to make a big show. Just slip out, kneel down at the altar, reach out and touch the hem of his garment and be cleansed. It works. I believe I'm not sure which verse we're on. Then we'll sing this song, then I'll turn it over to the moderator. Go ahead.
Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing for you and for me. Shadows are gathering. gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home.